This is Growing in Grace. And now, here's Richard O'Phil.
A person who doesn't feel guilt from time to time should worry, because it indicates that their conscience may have become dysfunctional. Society is very sensitive about guilt, and it tells us we should not feel guilty. It's not unusual to hear someone say, "Don't try to lay a guilt trip on me." But friend, the purpose of Scripture is to do just that. It's supposed to lay a guilt trip on us. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You know, reproof and correction may very well result in feelings of guilt. I once heard a pastor say in his sermon that one thing he would not do was make his congregation feel guilty. He said that some people enjoy feeling guilty, but he was not into that. Well, I'm not into that either. But when the Bible is the basis for preaching, guilt is often the result. The purpose of preaching is to open the Word of God and let it speak for itself. It's possible for a person to read the Bible alone on a desert island and be brought under the conviction that they are a sinner in the eyes of God. There's a program on my computer called Norton Utilities. I run this program often. The purpose of the utility is to check out the hard disk. If it detects a problem, it will ask me if I want it to be fixed. When I hit the return key, it will fix the problem, and then it will report fixed. This procedure is important for the health and the well-being of the computer's hard disk. The program doesn't create disk problems. Rather, it diagnoses and fixes the problems. However, to fix the problem, I have to run the program. When the window informs me it has detected a problem, I don't run screaming from the room. Neither do I get a hammer and smash the screen of the computer. But you may be sure that I don't ignore the warning. When the Word of God reproves us and corrects us, it's not putting us down. It's doing just the opposite. It's picking us up and giving us an opportunity to get back on track. Jesus promised He would send the Spirit, and the first work of the Spirit would be to convict us of sin. Correction is necessary, because we must realize we are wrong before we feel any need to change. The law of motion is that an object will continue moving in the direction it's headed until an outside force impacts it to go in another direction. Guilt is the feeling that something has gone wrong. The prodigal son had to feel guilty before he decided to go home. The truth is, when we make a mistake, we are guilty, and we should feel guilty. But unless we admit our guilt and recognize it as a symptom that something is wrong, we will probably continue in the direction we're headed. I had plans to attend a revival meeting that was being conducted in one of the state of Florida's prison facilities. It meant that I would need to drive about 100 miles from where I live in Orlando. I gave myself plenty of time to get there, but for some unknown reason, I decided to take a state road rather than the turnpike. I thought the state road went directly to the city of my destination. I drove over 100 miles, and I was beginning to wonder when I was going to get there. I went on a ways further, and still I wasn't getting there. Finally, I stopped at a convenience store, and I asked directions. I asked how much further down the road I would have to go to reach such and such a city. They politely informed me that I was not headed toward that city, but that I was headed toward Miami. I was on the wrong road and would have arrived in Miami had I not begun to feel guilty about why I was not getting to where I intended to go. Something was wrong with the direction in which I was headed, and I could make no change until I admitted my error. Friend, when we get the big picture, we can see that guilt is a prerequisite to repentance. The Scripture shows us our guilt so that the Holy Spirit can call us to repent. Oh, our society should be concerned about sin, but instead of repenting, it's trying to rid itself of guilt, which, of course, is the result of sin. You know, if Bible writers had lived in our day, they would not have been able to write the way they did. It would not have been politically correct. I've found many biblical confessions that don't match our present mindset. For instance, David wrote, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You know, these days, David would have had to have written, "Lord, I messed up with that Bathsheba Uriah thing. Sorry about that." The great prophet Daniel wrote in Daniel chapter 9, "We've sinned and have committed iniquity, and we've done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land." Why did he put himself down like that? It would have been more politically correct to write, "Our parents made mistakes. We made mistakes. But you could lighten up." Peter had a poor image of himself. You know, the time he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." These days he might have said, "Lord, could you give me some space? You're making me feel bad about myself." Paul in Romans 7 held nothing back. What he could have done was simply to have written, "You know, Lord, I'm having some internal conflicts, but I'm sure that these feelings of desperation are excessive." Friend, the present trend to do away with guilt is only making matters worse. But our lives are not going to be different until we address what is causing our guilt. If we seek to do away with guilt, we are only institutionalizing our sins and mistakes. The scripture is clear that Jesus didn't come to condemn us. In John 3:17, it says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." In another place it says, "And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go thou and sin no more." Though Jesus didn't come to condemn the sinner, he definitely came to convict the sinner. And a convicted sinner will have a sense of guilt. The Bible identifies two kinds of guilt. There is a godly sorrow that produces repentance leading to salvation not to be regretted. But there's also a sorrow of the world that produces death. The difference between these two kinds of guilt are not difficult to identify. Worldly guilt causes us to focus on ourselves, but godly guilt leads us to focus on the person we've offended. Now, another characteristic of worldly guilt is that it causes us to focus on what we've done in the past. Godly guilt causes us to focus on what we can do in the present to correct what we've done. Worldly sorrow keeps us focused on the sin. Godly sorrow prompts us to take corrective action right now. Worldly sorrow focuses on the past. Godly sorrow focuses on the here and now. Corrective actions that come out of worldly guilt are motivated by a desire to stop feeling bad. Actions that result from godly guilt are motivated by a desire to help the person we've wronged. The actions of godly guilt actually promote personal growth and focus on doing the will of God. Worldly sorrow will often result in temporary change, but there may be rebellion later on. Godly sorrow results in a true ongoing change. Friend, the Bible is not especially concerned whether we perceive ourselves to have feelings of guilt or not. It is very concerned, though, about the fact that we are actually guilty. The move these days to do away with guilt without dealing with what's causing it can make the plan of salvation inoperable. This is because guilt leads to repentance, and repentance is the handle by which the forgiveness of God lifts us up and out of the pit of sin into which we've fallen. The issue we face is not who's a sinner and who isn't. But it is rather, inasmuch as we're all sinners, what are we going to do about it? I don't want my conscience to give me a green light until what has activated the guilt has been dealt with. Now, of course, we must be aware that there is such a thing as toxic guilt. If conscience is the gauge that God has given us to tell us when something is wrong, it would not be out of character if the gauge went bad once in a while. Like a computer, our conscience can crash. And so in certain instances, it must be rebooted, as we would say in computer language. Sometimes when the conscience is not based on the Word of God, or when guilt is detected in the conscience but not dealt with, the guilt itself can become a problem. This toxic guilt can be the result of not following through on the call to repent. Or it may even be a refusal to accept the fact that if we confess our sins, God will actually forgive us. You know, I'm glad that my conscience is alive and well, and that it's producing guilt when it's called for. When dealt with properly, guilt tells us when we're off the road before we actually hit something and have done permanent damage to our lives. If we arrive at the place where we can value guilt and heed its warnings, we very well may not be hurting as much as we've been hurting in the past. How wonderful it is that God, through His Spirit, can convict us of sin and of judgment, and then later of righteousness. Let us pray that we will not be influenced by the society, that we don't and won't mind when our conscience puts us on a guilt trip, but that we will pray daily that our conscience may be more sensitive, and that when we feel guilty, that we'll confess our sins, knowing full well that He will forgive us.
If you would like more information about Growing in Grace, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 800-752-3226.